Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, I'm sure your 2020 looked vastly different to mine, but we all had to navigate COVID and lockdown, and we all had to get through challenges and difficult times. And one thing that 2020 definitely did was that it reminded us of what Jesus had promised, and that is that we will have trouble in this life. The great Welsh preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said it like this: "There is no grosser or greater misrepresentation of the Christian message than that which depicts it as offering a life of ease with no battle and no struggle at all. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground." Very sobering words and very true, isn't it? In this life, we will have trouble, but here we are. We are still here. We are still standing, still breathing, and we can say we made it through 2020. And we can thank God that He carried us through last year. Amen. So as we stand at the start of a new year, I think many of us have mixed emotions. There's hope and expectation that 2021 will be a better year than last year. But there's also perhaps some anxiety and apprehension as to what this year could possibly hold in store. We don't know what 2021 will look like. But what we do know is that God has promised us right throughout Scripture that He will be with us and will walk with us every step of the way. And those are promises that we can hold on to. In fact, you might have seen this, but YouVersion, the free mobile and online Bible app, says that the Bible verse that has been most often shared, bookmarked, and highlighted by the global YouVersion community during 2020 was Isaiah 41 verse 10, which says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And that verse and others like it was not just for 2020, but is just as applicable in 2021. We don't have to do life alone. In fact, just before Jesus went back up to heaven, He said to His disciples, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so even though there will be challenges in 2021, even though there will be obstacles and difficulties that we need to go through and overcome, still we can take courage, we can be full of hope, because our God is with us and He is for us. So where does that leave us? How should we approach 2021 to experience God's wonderful promises for our lives? How do we experience God's peace, blessing, and joy, even as we navigate the ups and downs of life? Well, there is really only one way, and that is to make God our top priority this year. To make loving Him, serving Him, worshiping Him our top focus. And when we decide that 2021 is the year that we are going to be all in for God, more than ever before, then we will have a phenomenal year, regardless of our external situations. Look at what David says about being all in for God. He says, "I have set the Lord always before me." In other words, I am focused on God. I am all in for God. "Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." And then he goes on to say about God, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David was all in for God. And because of that, he experienced God's presence and blessing in his life like few others did. So church, today, I want to challenge all of us to make this year a great year by making 2021 the year of being all in for God. And that is then also the message title for today, the year of being all in. Now, the Free Dictionary defines the phrase to be all in as to mean to be fully committed to a task or endeavor, to give or be prepared to give all of one's energy or resources towards something. And being all in for God reminds me of that beautiful old hymn, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." The Indian evangelist Dr. P.P. Job shared in his book, The Origin of This Hymn. And in the 1840s, there was a great revival in Wales. And as a result, many missionaries came from England to Northeast India to spread the gospel. And the Assam region in Northeast India consisted of many tribes that were known for their aggressive headhunting. And according to tradition, the words that formed the basis for the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, were the last words spoken by a martyred tribal man from the Assam region. This man, his wife, and their two boys were converted to Christianity and then started sharing their faith with other villagers. Now, this greatly angered the village chief, and he summoned all the villagers. He then called the family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public or face execution. And moved by the Holy Spirit, the man replied, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers to arrow down the two children. And as both boys lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked, will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children, you will lose your wife too. But the man replied again, though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered the wife to be arrowed down. And in a moment, she joined her two children in death. And now he asked for the last time, I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live. And in the face of death, the man said, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. He was shot dead like the rest of his family. But with the death, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was so moved by the faith of the man that in a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, I too belong to Jesus Christ. And when the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, this is quite a remarkable story, but what is clear is that this man and his family were all in for Christ. Now, by the grace of God, you and I might never have to be in front of a firing squad for our faith. But as believers in Christ, we are also called to be all in for Him. And so to be all in for God in 2021 means firstly to love God above all else. In Mark chapter 12, we read how the Pharisees and Sadducees and other religious leaders were all debating with Jesus and trying to trap him with various difficult questions. And then we read this in verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, you and I have the benefit of hindsight, and so we might think that this is a question with a fairly obvious answer. But back in the day, the teachers of religious law had determined that the Jews were obligated to obey 613 precepts or rules in the law, 365 negative rules or do not do's, and 248 positive rules or things that they should do. Now, that's quite a lot. And so one of the favorite exercises of these teachers of religious law was to discuss which of these divine commandments was the greatest or the most important. So Jesus answers this man's question by quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5. And it's the passage which the Jews know as the Great Confession of Faith. It is called the Shema from the first word of the confession that means hear or listen. And even to this day, devout Jews recite it each morning and evening. So this is what we read. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then Jesus goes on to quote Leviticus 19, verse 18. And he says, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And the teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love Him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. And realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So in one fell swoop, Jesus summarized the entire law and prophets in the Old Testament, and he said, when all is said and done, it all boils down to loving God and loving people. When we look at the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on the two stone tablets, we see that even they get summarized by what Jesus said. The first four commandments all have to do with us loving God wholeheartedly and putting Him first in our lives. Have no other God, don't worship any idols, don't take God's name in vain, and keep the Sabbath holy. Then the next six commandments have to do with loving people and treating them correctly. Honor your parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't testify falsely, and don't covet. Now, unfortunately, people often make the second part their focus, saying, well, you see, I need to focus on loving myself so that I can love people, because that is what Jesus said. But Jesus definitely did not say that we need to love ourselves more. Already as human beings, we are completely preoccupied with ourselves. Think about it. Who do you think about the most? Yourself. Our thoughts are dominated by ourselves. What we're going to eat, what we are going to wear, what we look like, what we are doing at work, what we would like to achieve, what we feel about people and situations. In fact, we love ourselves too much. Just look at people's Instagram accounts and you will know that it's true. So Jesus is not saying that we should love ourselves more, but he is saying that the same care and concern we have for ourselves is the same care and concern we should have for other people. But we will not treat people the right way, the biblical way, if we don't first love God, and then out of that love for God, we will then love others the way we should. And so Jesus is saying that's the most important thing you and I can do. It's to love God completely with our heart, with all our soul, with our mind, and all our strength. Our heart speaks of our most innermost being, who we really are. Our soul is our emotions and feelings, our desires, and our mind is our mental capacity, our reasoning, our thoughts, our intellect. And then our strength refers to those things that we get a sense of power from, a sense of control from. Our physical bodies, our achievements, our money, our success, and our status. Now, when we are all in for God, we will focus on loving Him with our entire being, with all of who we are. It will also mean, secondly, that we will desire God above all else. We will be desperate for His presence, to spend time with Him, and to get to know Him better. You know, when someone is really important to us, we will prioritize them, and we will find a way to spend time with them. I came across a great story of a 57-year-old American lady in Florida, and her name is Mary Daniel. Now, Mary is the founder and chief executive of Claim Medic, which is a small company that helps patients with healthcare bills. Mary's husband, Daniel, is 66 and has early onset Alzheimer's disease. And Daniel has been a resident at a care home since 2019. And so every night after work, Mary will go and spend a few hours with him. And she will help get him ready for bed and then lie with him till he falls asleep. But then in 2020, the coronavirus swept through the world. And on the 11th of March, she received a phone call from the care facility to say that the state of Florida had put all hospitals and care facilities in lockdown, and she would no longer be allowed to visit her husband. Now, Mary was devastated, and as the days turned into weeks, she realized that things were not going to change anytime soon, and she became desperate to find a way to see Daniel and spend time with him. And she said, "I reached out and I talked to the governor, I talked to the local reporters, and I called the parent company of the facility asking if there was anything I could do to get inside. I even offered to bring my puppy as a therapy dog." Her pleas were all denied, but she still persisted. Then eventually, she was told that a part-time cleaning job had opened up at the facility, and she jumped at the opportunity. So now she works 2 days a week as a cleaner, scrubbing dishes, mopping floors, and cleaning the grill. And then afterwards, she gets to spend several precious hours with Daniel. And after not seeing her husband, being with him has been just amazing, she said through tears. It didn't matter what I had to do to get there, said Mary. I was willing to do whatever it took to fulfill my promise that I was going to be there for him every step of the way. And such an inspirational story and a great reminder that when someone is really important to us, we will find a way to prioritize them. And it's the same with our relationship with God. When we are all in for God, we will desire Him and His presence above all else. And we will make the time and diarize the time to spend with Him, praying and reading our Bibles. And the beautiful thing is, the more we do it, the more we want to do it. The closer we get to God and the more fulfilled we become. And in Psalm 73, we read this. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. If we can't say the same as the psalmist, then we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to awaken that kind of desire for God in our lives as we prioritize spending time with Him. Now, the Apostle Paul was completely all in for God. And in Philippians 3, he talks about all the things that he used to think was important and how they had become nothing to him compared to his desire for God. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. Paul was all in for Christ and desired His presence and knowing Him above all else. When a man once asked the well-known evangelist George Mueller the secret of seeing God work so mightily in his life, Mueller responded, he said, there was a day when I died, utterly died, died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will, died to the world, its approval or censure, died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends, and since then, I have studied to show myself approved only to God. How inspiring, right? George Mueller died to himself and desired only God. And you and I can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us that hunger, that desire that only the presence of God can fill. And the Christian author C.S. Lewis said this about desiring God and prioritizing time with Him. He said, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Being all in this year, we will love God above all else. We will desire His presence. And thirdly, we will seek His kingdom above all else. And you know, it's so easy in this life to get pulled in different directions and to get our priorities all muddled up. I heard about a group of friends in America who went deer hunting, and they paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under the weight of a big buck. Where's Harry? He was asked. Oh, Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back up the trail. What? They said. You left Harry lying there and you carried the deer back? Well, it was a tough call, said the hunter, but I figured no one was going to steal Harry. Now that was definitely a case of prioritizing the wrong thing, amen. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks to His followers and He tells them that their priorities are all muddled up. They are worried and anxious about material and practical needs when they don't have to be. And then He says this in verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and He will give you everything you need. So Jesus is saying when we make the kingdom of God our top priority, everything else will fall into place. God will supply all our needs. So what do we really mean when we talk about the kingdom of God? Pastor Charles Swindoll explains it like this. He says, generally speaking, God's kingdom is a synonym for God's rule. Those who choose to live in His kingdom, though still very much alive on planet Earth, choose to live under His authority. And so when we seek the kingdom of God then, it means that we choose to submit to the rule and authority of God in our lives. His word has the final say in our lives. He is our master, and we live to please Him and honor Him in everything we think, say, or do. Charles Swindoll again says, if I am to seek first in my life God's kingdom and God's righteousness, then whatever else I do ought to relate to that goal, where I work, with whom I spend my time, the one I marry, or even the decision to remain single. So when we choose to seek the kingdom of God above all else, it means every other decision we make, we will filter through that goal. That means that when there is a conflict of interest, when there's a clash between what I want and what I know God wants from me, I will surrender my will to His, no matter how hard it is. I will bend the knee and choose His way because I serve Him and my greatest desire is to honor Him. In John 14, we read that Jesus replied and said this, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. So when we are all in for God, we will seek His kingdom first, which means that we will obey His word, all of it, not just the bits that suit us. It also means that we will desire to bring Him glory in everything we do. And Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And in Colossians 3, he says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. In talking about seeking the kingdom of God first, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, see how the Bible opens. In the beginning, God. Let your life open in the same way. Seek with your whole soul, first and foremost, the kingdom of God as the place of your citizenship, and His righteousness as the character of your life. As for the rest, it will come from the Lord Himself without you being anxious concerning it. All that is needful for this life and godliness shall be added unto you. I hope you will join me in making 2021 the year that we will be all in for God like never before. When we do that, we can have the confidence that we will experience His peace and joy like never before. Our needs will be met, and we will find strength and courage to navigate our challenges. And so as we come to a close today, I want to remind us that we are only able to love God, only able to experience His blessings and His favor because He first loved us. He loved us when there was nothing lovable about us. He loved us when we were His enemies, steeped in ugly sin with no way to get out of it. He loved us so passionately that He did the unthinkable. He sent His own sinless Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin with His own life. And He did this by dying a humiliating, torturous death on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God and have our eternal destiny changed from hell to heaven. And Billy Graham said this about the love of God. He said, this love of God is immeasurable, unmistakable, and unending. It reaches to wherever a person is, but it can be rejected. God will not force Himself upon any person against his or her will. You can hear a message about the love of God and say, no, I will not have it. And God will let you go on without His love. But if you really want it, you must believe. You must receive the love of God. You must take it. You must be forgiven of your sins. There must be a definite, positive act of commitment and surrender to the love of God. Nobody else can do it for you. You can sit all the days of your life under the preaching of the love of God and still die without Christ. Or you can open your heart today and say, yes, I receive Christ. If that is you today, then I want to urge you not to wait a moment longer to surrender your life to Christ. Turn away from your own sinful, selfish ways and give your life fully to Jesus. Submit to Him as the Lord and Master of your life and receive salvation for your soul, as well as all the good things that He has in store for you. If that is you, won't you pray this prayer with me today? Heavenly Father, I come to you in humility today, declaring that I am a complete sinner in need of your grace. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins so that I can be forgiven. Today, Lord, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior and surrender my life to Him. Thank you that my eternity changes to one of being with you. And thank you, Lord, that you will help me every day of my life to walk with you and to live my life for you, being all in for God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.